This is Fresh Air. Our rock critic Ken Tucker has a review of the year in rock music, and his picks are some of the best records of 1987.
It's a sign of the times, as Prince might say, that 1987 was the worst year for the music that I can remember. Too much time during the past 12 months was spent, I think, paying attention to established artists trying to make comebacks. Some were commercially successful, such as George Harrison's Cloud Nine, and some of them were flops, such as Mick Jagger's Primitive Cool. Some fell somewhere in between, like the first solo album by Robbie Robertson, former leader of the band. Whether they were hits in the marketplace or not, however, what all these albums shared was the fact that they were beside the point. They didn't add a thing to rock and roll discourse in 1987. And what's even more telling is that many people didn't mind that these albums were irrelevant. On some level, that was one reason they attracted so much attention. For example, it didn't matter at a certain point whether Robbie Robertson's album was good or bad. What mattered was that he'd given a dozen magazines and newspapers the same interview and was willing to rehash the history of the band once again. Above all, nostalgia pervaded 1987, and its smell did much to spoil the year. This concludes the soapbox portion of my little presentation today.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you, but I gotta think twice.
That's George Michael's song Faith, the number one single in the country right now and one of the more pleasant surprises of the year. George Michael used to be half of the teeny bopper rock act Wham, much despised by both critics and the supposedly mature segment of the rock audience, and you can bet I include myself in both categories. But for Faith, Michael reached back to early rock, to the acoustic passion of Buddy Holly and the stripped-down blues of Elvis Presley's first recordings. The result was a big hit whose beat and rhythm had nothing in common with any of the other songs surrounding it on the charts. By contrast, a band called The Replacements was proudly, even radically, derivative on an album called Pleased to Meet Me. Drawing upon the hard rock of everyone from the Rolling Stones to T-Rex, from early Bob Seger to late Sex Pistols, The Replacements made some wild but melodic music.
There were a number of big superstar releases this year, including Michael Jackson's Bad, which was inevitably an anticlimax to a career that peaked 5 years ago with Thriller. There was also The Joshua Tree by the Irish band U2. This overblown, painfully earnest record was the one that brought the group widespread fame in America. The only big star album I find myself returning to, however, is Bruce Springsteen's Tunnel of Love. I think it's Springsteen's most uneven album, but its high points, such as this song, Tougher Than the Rest, are beautiful indeed.
Well, it's Saturday night. You're all dressed up in blue. I've been watching you for a while. Maybe you've been watching me too. So somebody left somebody's heart in a mess. Well, if you're looking for love, honey, I'm tougher than the rest.
1987 has been a dismal year for female rockers. Madonna coasted on her earlier hits, Whitney Houston's album was mediocre, and the Bangles settled in to become a novelty act. But one of the best albums of the year came from Roseanne Cash. Her album, King's Record Shop, regularly dipped into country, rock, and pop for its best effects, as on this song called The Way We Make a Broken Heart.
Just one more kiss, she'll have to miss this night with you. Now you're guilty of this secret love, as I am too. You're getting used to telling lies, feeling sorry when she cries. Now that the strings are attached, she'll catch on. We've done our part. Oh, and this is the way we make a broken heart.
Now let's return to Prince, who I think deserves a break. He presents one of the least likable personas in rock, that of a perpetually horny egomaniac, but as his double album Sign of the Times proved, he's an impressively creative horny egomaniac. No one produced a bigger, better beat in 1987 than Prince did on It, the sort of music I hope gives the Parents Music Resource Center nightmares.
Ken Tucker writes about popular culture for the Philadelphia Inquirer.